Do you have a smartphone? Probably. It's me too.
Oh, God.
Download the Dark Side Records and Gallery mobile app from the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. Apple Store? Still called the Apple Store? iTunes Store? The Store, on Apple devices. you can check out this week's new releases. You can browse our web store. You can order things, check out our events, and you will also get access to the Used Twos list, full of all kinds of spicy gooch. I hate the word too, but we got to say it. So download the Dark Side download the Dark Side Records and Gallery app now. Right now.
Is it free?
Probably.
Hey, Internet. Looking forward to an upcoming release. Maybe you even know about it before we do, because that's the way the Internet works. Let us know. It's the best way to guarantee yourself a copy on release day. Hit us up, darksiderecords.com, in-store, via phone, any way you want it. That's the way you got it.
Oh, yeah!
That one got a round of applause.
I think.
All right.
Good. That was timely.
Good ad.
This is the Dark Side Records and Gallery Podcast.
So, JB.
Yes.
Do you realize that the lead singer of Torch looks like Farva?
Oh, God damn it.
I literally turned to him at one point in like the middle of their set and was like, dude, Farva's on the mic.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that you've said it, I won't be able to unsee it. Mm-hmm. I was slightly attracted to Farva.
You should offer him a liter of cola.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the jolliness.
Indeed. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dark Side Records
Podcast.
I was going to say not gallery. Oh. But welcome to the Dark Side.
Not gallery.
Records Podcast. This, of course, is a podcast about music, the music industry, brought to you by the great folks at Dark Side Records, located, of course, at 611 Dutchess Turnpike in Poughkeepsie.
You got a little voice to men on me. For
thank you. Thank you.
Sorry,
I'm trying to spice it up for the podcast, you know?
Yeah, there's a little Shawnee Spicer over here.
Oh, no. God, no, no. Oh. Or, of course, you can also find us on the web at Dark Side Records.
Anyone else miss him?
.com.
Sometimes I miss him.
Nah.
No,
I'm good.
I'm good.
Scary Spice.
Given the two, I would take him.
Yeah.
This, of course, is a podcast about music, the music industry.
Sean Spicer.
Yep.
Fun.
Sean Spicer.
And dick jokes.
Oh, that too.
Oh, lots of those.
That's right. If you don't already subscribe to our podcast, go. You can get it on Spotify now. We haven't been here in a while. We've got some updates we got to talk about because we took a little time off. We took a couple weeks off.
Sabbatical.
That's right. Had to, you know, refresh the brain cells. Clearly, that's working out real well for us. Of course, I'm JB.
I'm JJ.
I'm Brian.
Me first. I'm Mike Birds.
I mean, technically, you're fourth if you really want to be specific.
Okay.
And hi. I'm Birdo.
So hey guys, how's it going?
Hey.
I haven't seen everyone in a while. We do have a special guest here with us this week.
You've already introduced him.
Well, I just introduced myself.
Yeah, he introduced himself.
Technicality. We have a special guest on the podcast this week. Friend of the store, friend of the soundtrack section, our friend Mike Burge from Story Screen is here.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
How's it going?
It's going really good. I'm having a pretty good day.
This is your day off, right?
No.
Tomorrow's your day.
I showed up actually a little late today because I was coming from where I work to get here. Tomorrow is my first day off in a very long time, and I'm very excited about it.
Cool.
So this is kind of the beginning of my little mini vacation. It's nice. No. It's going great so far.
Okay, so I guess we'll just get right to the meat and potatoes of this thing.
Yeah, go for it.
You don't eat meat and potatoes.
Let's get
tofu and potatoes.
See, it just doesn't sound as good, though.
Your jackfruit and potatoes.
Even
jackfruit, that was a nice one.
Even I'll acknowledge it doesn't sound as good. I need a good one-syllable word for, peas and potatoes. Let's get right to the peas and potatoes, because
Right down to the soybeans of this motherfucker.
Because peas, of course, are the only complete protein that exists in nature, so they're good for you. Don't ask me to research any of that information.
I'd probably like to see your sources.
I probably fucked that up.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get to the point since JB is so bad at doing it.
He's really bad.
I run China Cafe in Plattsburgh, New York.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's friend of the store. Amazing Chinese restaurant. Come on,
I have
in.
Some ethnic questions.
When you go in and you order your food, just tell them Dark Side Records sent you, and you will get 50% off. And if they try to argue with you, keep pushing.
Just leave without paying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe a weird question, but have you ever had a customer, bald head, maybe a beard, his name is Eves? Does that sound familiar? I think he's from that area.
No, I'm sorry. All these people that watch movies just kind of blend together in my mind.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
At China Garden.
China Garden? China Cafe?
China Cafe in Plattsburgh, New York.
I can't believe you remembered that.
It's got to be you on the business.
Sharp
you
as a tack.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, right.
I pay rent.
Write out the checks every month.
I don't remember the name of this place half the time.
I'm going to take a quick moment here just to mention that, Mike, while you're here, please feel free. We have a selection of beverages that are on the counter here. You're welcome to.
Oh, thank you so much. What would you recommend?
Yeah, actually, that's what our side conversation was before. I'm sorry that I offered you one of these beers because they apparently expired January 29th, 2019. I bought these 2 weeks ago at the gas station.
Oh, okay. All right,
so,
cool.
Thank you.
Tastes great.
Sunoco.
Brian, when I put you in charge of hospitality for guests, this is the kind of performance I can expect.
Yes.
Look, to be fair, Best Buy dates are not regulated in any capacity and are total bullshit.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, now you have them on another tangent.
Mm-hmm.
You see the problem here.
What about Sam Adams? They go in and they buy back all their stuff that's expired.
That's just what the commercials.
Exactly. It's all fucking marketing.
I've seen them there buying shit back.
But what you haven't seen is you haven't seen that back room that they bring it to where they just stamp a new date and kick it right the fuck back out there.
Peel the label off
that's
and
call it Budweiser.
I was about to make a joke about being on the wrong podcast, but no, I'm on the right podcast.
Yeah,
this is exactly what this is.
But the point of this whole thing was to say that we have a couple beers here who were graciously donated by the good folks at Alewife Brewing. We got three that you could choose from. So if you'd like to try any Alewife Brewing and leave a review of it at the end of this podcast.
Absolutely.
Then we might get more free beers out of this is really what I'm kidding.
Okay. What are the
we're really bad at
types
sponsorships.
We got going on over here? It looks like we got three different types.
Three different types.
Okay.
This is, I'm holding a double dry hopped India Pale Ale.
Sounds nice. Next.
I've got a double India Pale Ale called the Lupulin Vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Vibration. Lupulin Vibrations.
Also sounds nice. What's the last one?
I thought it was the Lopin the Third Vibrator.
Ooh.
That's a joke for a very specific subset of anime nerds. That's...
Right.
Just go.
I didn't get it.
Wrong podcast.
I've got a tried and true Pilsner here. Thousand stars.
I think that'll be it if you guys don't mind.
I've got Irish whiskey.
Oh, is that Jameson?
It is. It's James' son. Yeah. James' son.
Mm-hmm.
I can just open this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, drink.
Wow. Oh, my God. We have cups. Like, did somebody want to try this as well? I don't want to take it all. Yeah. Let's pour it in the sand. Thank you.
You can catch more content like this on our Patreon.
You looked at the camera, too. You just looked at the fucking non-existent camera.
I did.
Give me shit.
Right? Hey.
Although, to be safe, we should all just assume there are cameras watching us everywhere.
I mean, technically, that's true right now.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Facial recognition and all that shit.
We got the real Patreon from over there.
Oh, my God.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Thank you.
I mean, I did read an article last week that was a tech guy saying that the way you know how people put Band-Aids over their computer cameras now that are built into your monitors?
Yes.
He was saying that we should now be covering our forward-facing cameras on our cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are the same level of security that is vulnerable on desktop computers is also the same risk on your phone, so you should be covering that as well.
Mm-hmm. Edward Snowden told me that like 5 years ago.
All I'm going to do is just start staring my phone down my crotch, camera down first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See how long they watch.
Hey, JB, by the way, why am I here again?
We'll find out together, my friend.
Is that a good way to like loop around back, or do we're still doing this for a little while?
He is so bad at staying on task.
I like that that he's giving you shit about.
Okay.
Hey, man, I host my own series.
It took us like an hour and a half to get him out of an alley the other night.
Yeah, when you get a professional in front of you, you got to start to mock him to kind of bring him down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're like some of the best Hudson Valley podcasts out there, just all here right at one table.
That's right. Quick thank you to Hudson Valley Magazine for including us in their list of the top eight Hudson Valley podcasts. Yeah. That's right. I noticed you were number eight.
We were number seven, and they go in descending order. So I noticed you were eight on that.
You're still number seven then.
Yeah. I think it was alphabetical.
Genuine thank you to Hudson Valley Magazine for including us all.
Really cool.
All
that was like the funnest
list.
Thing in the world.
Yeah.
Somebody brought that up to me.
It was nice that they included all eight podcasts recorded in the Hudson Valley in the same magazine.
Oh, I should look at... actually, they didn't. And in fact, I commented...
Right. They skipped somebody. Oh, right. Dead Radio.
Uh-oh.
I actually... I actually commented on that post with a few other local podcasts that I thought were, you know, maybe noteworthy. For someone who's looking at the article to go check
out. There are tons of awesome podcasts in the Hudson Valley that weren't on that list. And so being on it was kind of like, that's really cool. But also, I'm mad at you for not including these people. But like, also, thank you. By the way, too, because I know that if I were listening to this, I would be losing my fucking mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what
I'm Mike Burge, and I host a Story Screen Presents podcast. I host Over Drinkers, and we do like a bunch of podcasts over there, and I'm sure we'll get into that. Whatever you want to do. I don't want to steamroll that, but I would be losing my mind right now if I was listening to this podcast for 10 minutes and I still didn't know who that weird voice guy was.
Yeah, I don't even think we've actually said where.
Look,
no, I don't know. I'm so sorry to steamroll it, but I'm trying to help out everybody.
Hey, Mike,
else that's
do you
like
want to produce our podcast here at Dark Side Records?
Oh, I'd absolutely love to.
Look, for the record, that's what motherfucking metadata is for, okay? People know what the fuck they're going to listen to. It's in the description. It's in the title. They know going in. You just fucking turn on a podcast without looking at what the podcast episode is.
I do. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I just wing
that leads me to maybe a topic.
Okay.
Now he's all pissy. Now we've bruised him.
No, I'm just trying to look
God,
at...
Oh, my God. I think that I just destroyed the podcast.
I'm trying to look at our podcast statistics online to see if we got a Huntsville Magazine bump from
Welcome
that article.
To the final Dark Side podcast.
This week's stats.
When you're watching shit on like Netflix or Hulu or whatever, do you read the episode descriptions before you watch?
Every single time.
I fucking
God no,
not to.
Yeah. Really?
It depends. It depends on, I guess, what I'm watching. Like if it's a show like Stranger Things, I will not read the episode description because I want to be surprised.
Yeah.
Sometimes like a documentary or something, I'll double check like the description to see if it is what it sounds like or something.
You know, like do you guys watch Documentary Now? The Fred Armisen and Bill Hader like documentary spoof series. It's on Netflix. It's fucking amazing. And each one is like shot in the same vein as like an older documentary. And so they have like a weird name for it, but if you read the description, you'll be like, this is a spoof on this documentary. And as somebody who's like watched a lot of documentaries in film school or anything like that, I'll go, oh, what is this doing? What is this spoofing? And I'll read that then. But if I'm watching like Stranger Things or like Jessica Jones or any of these like Netflix stuff where I'm like watching a series, I'm going to read that because they tell you like what happens.
Yeah. Although I should really just finish Jessica Jones and just read the descriptions because
it's
I
way
can't
better
get
off.
Through season two.
Way better off, yeah.
Aww, it's been years.
Guys, Jessica Jones is really good.
I can't push through season two.
Season one was great.
Season two is a little rough. Ends very well. I will give you that.
All right.
I'll tell you. You got to get through it. Just like any. It's like these. This 13 episode shit is just too much. Mm-hmm. But this is dork side stuff. I'm sorry.
Save it.
Oh, my God.
So I just want to point out really quick that in the week that this article has been out, we had 13 downloads, and the week prior we had 23 downloads. So it actually hurt.
When was the last episode that you posted?
3 months ago.
April.
Yeah,
end of April.
Your statistics.
All I'm
I
saying.
I think it's really impressive that you got 13 downloads from an episode you posted 3 months ago.
Thank you.
That's very good.
23 the week before.
Yeah. 23.
That's weird, yeah.
When we do this thing for real, when we're like, you know, on top of it, we do pretty well.
It's because we're colorful.
That's it.
We're a colorful staff.
That was how they called us in the description on Hudson Valley Magazine's article.
Oh, that's right. They did call you colorful. You guys are a colorful that's cast of characters.
It's a nice way
I
to
think
say
it's because
they
we
cuss
swear
a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can't be ethnically
that's a nice
diverse.
That's the G-rated version of saying
I am the blackest guy at this table.
Well, fuck.
I was trying to figure out because, again, thank you so much for having me on. Long-time listener. First-time guest. But I don't know, and I've come in here a lot, and I've literally spoken words with all of you here at this table before, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Not me.
Not you?
No. Hey, Mike, I'm Birdo.
Hey, Birdo. You were the one that I was like, who's that guy? And I tried to, like, picture who everybody was, and I couldn't really place it. And now I'm trying. I didn't hear the introductions.
I'm here on holidays.
Either. So I know Birdo. I got that right away. Immediately, as soon as you started talking about we were doing, like, the pre-vid thing. But who's JJ?
That's me.
That's you? You're JJ?
I'm JJ.
Oh, I would have thought you were JJ.
That's DK.
Oh, okay,
I'm not on
this makes
all
sense.
The time. Just, you know.
Well, right. Usually it's yeah, JB like, and Birdo, and then sometimes JJ is kind of just like the, no offense at all, like the jester. Ooh. That's just
oh,
kind
you
of like
Dorkside.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
I can do
it I'm
doesn't really
listen to Dorkside.
He doesn't partake. He just
I
and,
mock.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was
best of my ability, which is not very well.
I imagined you as I'll like a that. Like 4'9", like just like little jester,
like a troll. Like,
yeah,
a Tyrion Lannister.
But
if you will.
Look great. You actually look great in real life. So it's very nice to finally meet you.
So wait, so that actually brings up something, which is I personally kind of hate, like if I'm really into a podcast, I kind of hate seeing the cast in real life. I'd also actually stay away from like their social media shit like that because
yeah, don't meet your heroes, man.
Yeah, there's ones where like you know I'll finally see a picture of them and I'm like, oh, that is not how I pictured you guys at all, and it kind of takes away from the podcast to me. I mean, eventually, like you know, I'll get over it, whatever, but. Being that you're on the spot now, how do you feel about that?
No, I like it. I've been on the receiving ends, like with the podcast where people have been like, I've been serving people like when I do like bartending or waiter gigs. And I've had multiple instances where I'm serving people at like bars that I'm working at and they'll go, are you Mike Burge? Because they'll hear my voice and I'll be like, and it sounds so fucking weird. I'm just like, oh no, I do this like stupid podcast on the side for fun, which I'm very insanely proud of. And I really like doing it, but I never take it all that seriously in the sense that other people actually listen to it. Like I see the numbers and people do, but I never think I'm going to bump into these people. And they're just like, are you Mike Burge from Story Screen? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, oh, I love your podcast. It's so good. You're nothing what I thought you looked like. And I'm like, what did you think I look like? And they're
see?
Like, I don't know. Like, and they don't go for it,
insulting.
Which means like they thought I looked better looking. otherwise, they would have said like, oh, I thought you would have been ugly, but you look really good. When they say nothing, you're like, oh, you thought I looked better than I actually do, which is I look like a person that runs a podcast.
Right. Right.
I thought you were Fran Drescher. Like,
yeah. Yeah, but no, you guys look great.
Oh, thank you.
I will be honest, I'm really more like I was wondering where it was recorded, how it was recorded, what's the ambiance around
the ambiance are these really bright, unnecessary lights for an audio only show.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in like a fan film for The Matrix. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's essentially what
it's
it
good.
Is. Yeah.
If you don't like green, I can make them different colors.
I'll flashing pink.
What colors could you possibly make?
Well, they can strobe. They could be the full gamut of colors around the rainbow. Here, I'll just go change some colors.
No,
you tell
no,
me.
No, no, no.
You green. Green. Why don't we just rein them in? We'll just rein them in.
I was going to say, if you don't like green, you
use
can't
your imagination.
Well, when we do another live video podcast, I'll experiment with some colors. I'm lying. It's just going
to
be white. So
thanks, Mike. Now we have that to look forward to. Because it's going to happen next time when you're not here.
You're welcome.
And I'm having a seizure.
We actually did. You, in fact, are sitting in a chair that is, I guess, also concurrently being used as part of our promo for the new Black Keys album, Let's Rock. That's not a plug, by the way. And so we made this little listening station display that was set up to look like the album cover, which is, of course, an electric chair.
I thought this was an homage to Death Row Records.
It's actually a piece talking about capital punishment in the United States and trying to raise awareness for it.
Yeah.
Right, same thing. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Suge Knight.
Fry him.
What?
What? Nothing. Nothing. What? Only if they're innocent, though. You should only kill the innocent. Sends a message.
Well, either way, I'm honored. Just so you are aware, Brodo's going to be running for public office at some point in the future.
And he's got my fucking vote.
And I am saving every outtake that I cut from this show.
He can do anything every on this spot. He could slap me, and I'd still vote for him.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Need a Secretary of State.
Hey. Does it pay? Because I'm a podcaster. I don't know if you know. I need a little money.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're raking in those Patreon bucks.
Nope, we don't do Patreon.
Okay, let's talk Patreon in the future. Maybe we can actually set up Patreons that work for our
platforms. We should do
both
like
of our
a
platforms.
Joint Patreon kind of thing.
I mean, we could.
Right?
Very well. So you actually, you run, in addition to several great podcasts, you recently opened Story Screen Theater in Beacon, New York.
Story Screen Beacon Theater? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Fun.
I have yet to get there to check it out.
Dude, it's so good.
I gotta get down there.
It's not even, it sucks because, like, I own it and I run it. And so, obviously, I'm going to talk really good stuff about it.
Mm-hmm.
If I bumped into that theater somewhere, especially in, like, a place like around here, you'd be like, what the fuck? It's really cool. And I hate, like, coming across as, like, backpacking or anything like that. But it's, like, really fucking cool. It's, like, the best seats, the best projections.
I'm asking an important question. How's the lumbar support compared to South Hills Mall Cinema circa 5 years ago? Because my chiropractor still can't fix me.
I would say that it is more Kate Blanchett than Kate Beckinsale, if you understand what I mean by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't get that reference at all.
Underworld. One's just a little bit, nicer.
A little nicer.
Like to other people, or
just in
one looks good when the lights are low and they're in leather, and the other one's just fucking
one
classic.
You'd like to sit on more than the other.
Yeah,
I mean,
then that reference makes sense. You see,
that. I had to remember that I wasn't on my own podcast. I was like, yeah, you can answer that question. Like that. On my podcast, we try to be super woke. So on here. I'm going to let the freak flag fly.
Let it fly, man.
Who's at Dark Side?
If you say anything too bad, he just edits it out, and then it will just blackmail
you
with
edit?
It.
Oh, you edit?
See, that's what I'm saying.
So that's the whole thing. Like, our podcast is completely unedited.
See, this
we
is
do not edit anything.
And this is why I like when we do the live stream, is because I feel like when
we're
I live stream it, suddenly everyone's like, oh, let me.
Yeah,
because
that one time, JV said that.
Oh, my God.
He did. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did you? I haven't heard that one. Did you cut it out, or is it actually on there?
Context. Context.
No context. Which episode is it?
It's the episode titled JB Says the N-Word.
Oh! Can't believe I missed that.
The one where.
Well, you're going for an All in the Family sort of podcast. Oh my
God. So if you don't mind, as I diverge from this podcast about the music industry, what is the context?
Look, I don't even remember. Look, here's the thing. You need to stop bringing that up because every listen, because every
it wasn't
single
me
episode
this time.
Yeah, I brought
it up. You aim your indignation to the left.
I'm still pointing at Alberto.
I didn't get to it yet. It was on my agenda.
Every single episode, it gets brought up, and then I have to explain it, and we spend 8 minutes just doing this. Every single time, I like recurring bits.
All right,
but
so
this
you,
is not
you
a good
have,
recurring
are we
bit.
To swear on this too, right?
Yes, yeah, whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. Right,
so
balls.
You have, if I may, for 1 second, if I may, for 1 second, take control for 60 seconds. You have 30 seconds to explain the context, and I have 30 seconds to react, and then we will drop it. Is that cool?
I can answer it in 3 seconds.
Go for it.
We were discussing historical fiction.
I need more.
So do I, because I don't actually remember
what are you
the
talking
incident.
About?
Oh, my
that
fucking
happened.
God.
I discuss historical fiction all the time, and I never drop the N-word.
I did it already in 3 seconds. That was my 3 second thing.
No, 30 seconds.
Okay, in 30 seconds, we were discussing a work of fiction from the 1800s that had a character who had the N-word in his name, and I said the character's name.
Were you talking about, like, Huckleberry Finn?
Yes.
Okay.
That was it.
And you said his name out loud.
And I said his name out loud.
Okay, he's just like...
Well,
Jesus. What was it, like Jim or Tom or something? What was it?
Jim.
Just call him Jim.
I'm not being baited into this one a second time. All right? I learned my lesson the first time.
All right, I guess we got over that.
Technically, he was just quoting Mark Twain, an amazing American novelist.
Huge racist.
But an amazing American novelist.
Yes, yes, yes. Who never had a podcast.
If he did,
I would listen.
Dropping him words.
Oh, right. Every other way with Mark Twain, he then.
I'm so sorry.
I can't believe you called him by his full name. That's insane. It's like you don't. Like, if you just said Huckleberry.
Can you give me another?
We know who you're talking about.
Can you?
So if you said Jim, we'd be like, oh, that one character in that book called Jim. You don't have to give us his first name.
You could have even described him as the sidekick.
That was his first name.
I mean, look.
Probably.
Yeah, that was more of a title.
Look, the audio is there. I haven't deleted it. It's still up in our archive. You can go back and find the episode. I'm assuming fucking Roberto goaded me into some shit. I probably called him N-word Jim, and he was like, oh, what's the N-word stand for?
And then, apparently, you know, that might into actually, Kermit the Frog. Yeah.
Well, I know what I'm doing on my day off tomorrow. I'm lighting some candles, mm-hmm. I'm pouring a glass of scotch, and I'm pulling up the episode entitled just, "JB Says the N Word." And I'm
if you
I'm
want
just
it
gonna
to be
wait.
Appropriate, you should make yourself a mint julep.
We like to think of that as the sweet spot in our podcast archive.
My God.
So anyways, you run Story Screen Beacon.
Yeah, I did.
Movie theater that opened up.
Show movies there.
We've talked about this on Dorkside.
How many screens you got there, Mike?
We have two screens open to the public for public screenings, but we also have a third space that's got like couches and recliners and stuff like that that we just opened up like literally 2 days ago from the moment of this recording. It's so swank. We do that for like private events and like fun special screenings and stuff like that. We're actually starting up I guess it's technically a plug. It's a plug. Plug this. We're doing like a education curriculum that we've been trying to build for a while where it's like you get to come in, you pay $10, which is like our ticket price for everything, whether it's Toy Story 4, Lion King, opening night, or like going to see Jaws or something. You pay $10 and you get to watch a movie with us every 15, 20 minutes on a basis like end of scene kind of thing. Pause the movie, bring the lights up, discuss a certain thing about what we just watched. Like, as an example, the first one we're doing is cinematography in The Shining. And I got my buddy Robbie Anderson, who works over at the theater with me. We're going to just watch The Shining in, like, 20-minute chunks. And every 20 minutes, turn the lights up, discuss, like, Dutch angles, lenses, staging, stuff like that. And you get to watch The Shining on the big screen, 4K, beautiful, awesome shit. Couches, cool, and by the end of it, you walk out with pretty much like a 101 basic knowledge on cinematography. And we're going to be doing that with stuff like Scott Pilgrim versus the World. We're going to be doing it with like Dark Crystal. We got a really cool plan to do one with like Iron Man 2 and stuff like that as far as like dolly gripping and stuff. It's cool. It's fun.
The best of the Marvel movies.
The best.
Hands down.
I know the dolly grip from Iron Man 2. And he was also the dolly grip on Iron Man.
Is he going to be doing any of the talking at the
event? He's going to be one of the guys in there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He wants to do one of his other movies, and I'm trying to like, coax him away from him. I'm like, let's do Iron Man 2. Talk about the dolly grip action in Iron Man 2.
Okay. Do you have dates for those? When are they coming up?
The only one that we actually have solidified on a date is like The Shining, and that's going to be on the 23rd of July. I don't know when this episode's posting.
It'll post tomorrow.
And then there you go.
For our listeners, that's today. Or sometime in the past.
July 15th, 2019.
Cool. Some non-specific day in the past.
Yeah, so like next week we're doing the first one with The Shining.
And sweet.
We'll see how that one goes and see how often we want to do them. We'll probably just do them once a month.
Cool. I like that. Cool. In fact, I was walking through Beacon earlier today and I saw the poster for that and was super stoked for it. It's a great idea.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We categorized it out like the other night because it's not just like some bullshit where like we're showing the movie and we just pause it whenever we want. Like we have set times that we pause it at the end of scenes so it doesn't disrupt the movie too much where it's like if you want to be a part of the conversation for about 5 minutes real quick, you can if you want to go to the bathroom or grab some popcorn.
So alternatively, it could be great for someone with a small bladder.
Exactly.
Because you've got breaks.
Yeah, it's the anti-Avengers Endgame.
That's rough.
Until you do Avengers Endgame.
Until we do that. We, right. Where we just talk
Meanwhile,
about,
12 hours later.
Yeah, we've talked about your theater on our other podcast, Dorkside.
I've heard
podcast.
It's very nice. Thank you very much.
I always you obviously haven't heard because we.
I blush a little bit in my car. It's very nice. You guys are and super. I mean, it's,
let's talk something that kind of brings our two businesses together.
Nerds.
Oh, smelly nerds. Yeah, for sure. You should. This could actually. This could even maybe spark an idea for a monthly class idea. But let's talk about some soundtracks.
Oh shit!
Mm-hmm.
Since, I didn't know that's what this was going to be about. Since I came on the right day,
we have.
I'll be over here.
My, how the tables have turned, gentlemen.
No, no, no. On this podcast, you have to say, "My, how the turntables." You can use that joke later if you want.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about soundtracks. Because I know we joke about this, but I feel like when you come in here, you mainly come in for soundtracks.
Big vinyl soundtrack nut.
You should talk to this guy right here, Brian Kendrick.
How are you?
I'm
good. How are you?
Cool. I'm good. I'm very good. Thanks awesome. For asking.
I guess I'm technically also B-hole over here. It's also a good person to talk to.
The old Bert.
Mm-hmm.
The old Bert.
So
I love probably I have at my house I probably have about 600 vinyl records and I would say easily 200 of those are all either movie soundtracks or scores, which I think it's very important to differentiate.
So you him here.
I think that nothing grinds my gears more than when someone's like, oh, you know that movie that had absolutely no songs in it? I really like the soundtrack. I'm like, no, that's called
some
the
bullshit.
Score.
Some bullshit right? What that is.
And I have to behave myself and act like a grown-up and be like, oh yeah, the soundtrack was really good, Jeremy. Yeah.
See, why are you gonna bring Jeremy through the mud?
Jeremy's just a random name.
So I don't act like an adult. I'm like, are you looking for the score or the soundtrack?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
There's
it's
a difference.
Big fucking
pal.
Deal, man.
I wish you wore glasses so you could push them up when you say that to them.
I was supposed to. I just
Brian,
okay.
Are you looking for the work that James Gunn did or the work that Tyler Bateman did? Like, what are you looking for?
So, how do you feel about the records that incorporate some of each? So they didn't have a full soundtrack, so they throw in like the the end credit song or something in the release.
So I think there's three different versions of that, right? There's the albums that release like the actual soundtracks on them, like the songs on like one record, whether they're like a one side or like a double LP. Something like Guardians of the Galaxy, they have like, right. you get a double LP. One's got the Tyler Bateman score on it. Knocks ass. It's awesome. And then one's got all that really awesome shit that you are buying like the vinyl record for, most likely. Or you got something like Drive, which has like all of the songs on one side, and then it's got all the Cliff Martinez stuff on mm-hmm. the other side. I'm into both of those. I'm into all of them. It's kind of like if a movie hits me musically, it's and it has both like songs and a real good score, I probably want both of them. It's the one thing where it's like you can't get when you can only get one or the other. Where it's like with something like Baby Driver has like amazing songs in it, and you can get those songs on like a bunch of different vinyl records, but you can't get like the score that they have in there because the score is very minimal and there's not a lot going on there. But mm-hmm. I want that. That's kind of my whole thing. I like the option to be able to have both or one or the other. I don't like it when one kind of overshadows the other and the other one's not even available on vinyl.
I will say, I think you can tell though when like a filmmaker puts real effort into the soundtrack, like Quentin Tarantino, who researches the music he wants to put in it. I mean, I remember the story for Kill Bill. He was in a department store in Japan and heard the 5/6/7/8 and they didn't have that CD anywhere, so he bought it from the girl at the cash register. And he put that. He ended up hiring them for the movie.
Totally, yes.
So I love like little nerdy shit like that.
I mean, Tarantino is like one of the best ones as far as like soundtracks and scores, and like he almost kind of like mixes that because he uses like a lot of Ennio Morricone like music in his stuff that's from other movies. So it's like sometimes I'll be traipsing through older movies that Ennio Morricone just happens to be making the music for because he's made music for like, I don't know, like 175 movies. And you're like, oh, that's the song from The Hateful Eight. Oh, that's the song from The Hateful Eight, right. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and you bring it up, Baby Driver is an interesting one, specifically talking about the blending of soundtracks and scores, because that one, I appreciated how much he worked the soundtrack songs into the scores and also into the scenes and mm-hmm. to what was actually happening in the scenes. Mm-hmm. Particularly, there's the whole gunfight shootout at the very end. Spoiler alert, I won't. There's a gunfight shootout at the end. And they've time up the gunshots with the beats in the song. Mm-hmm. And they do that through a whole sequence of different things, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I have a really bad article that I wrote on StoryScreamBeacon.com that talks about Baby Driver as a musical in that sense, where it's like it's not verbally a musical where the characters, the lines that they're saying are in the songs. It's the physicality, everything that they're doing is musically in tune in the same way that dialogue would be in a musical. It's like a West Side Story getaway movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really fucking cool. It's a cool fucking movie.
I've been trying to get JJ to see that movie since it's been out.
Oh, I know about this. Yes, that's right. It's a very good movie. He is actually an 8-month-old baby. Is the main character that can drive.
Voiced by Alec Baldwin. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Sounds like
a man. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So you just gotta hook him.
Whatever gets him in the door, that's story screen philosophy for the theater.
I own a movie theater, man. It's all about getting him in the door, and you're good to go.
Boom.
No. You got to make the zingers, like, you got to time them just right.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Scott Pilgrim either. I think he just doesn't like Edgar Wright. Maybe that's the thing.
Yeah, no, dude, Edgar Wright's like, movies are fucking weird, dude. Like, it's like some people don't dig certain mentalities and stuff like that, whether or not, like, they like certain things that are kind of like them. It's all about, like, Edgar Wright is very precise. He is a very specific flavor of soda. And if you don't like that flavor of soda, you're not going to like any variation on that flavor of soda that he makes. You know?
Are there other... I didn't know those were the same person, so are there other Edgar Wright films?
I mean, let's go down the line. We got Shaun of the Dead was his first one. He mm-hmm. did Space. Did you see Space, the show he made? Oh. Space is awesome. You probably mm-hmm. love it because it's like the comic book shop mentality going over to like vinyl record shop mentality. You probably dig Space a lot of those good. Inside jokes. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, mm-hmm. which Hot Fuzz I think is like the greatest movie not made by Monty Python. That's a Monty Python movie.
I made him watch
both
of those at some point.
All the same people.
Yeah, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, At World's End, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Baby Driver. I'm missing one Edgar Wright.
Well, he did the screenplay for Ant-Man.
Ant-Man. He got fired from it, and Peyton Reed came on and took that up, which is probably for the best.
We'll never know.
No, Edgar Wright's really good, but he's very particular. His cooking, like the meal that you're going to eat, is the people who are into cooking really like it. They understand editing. Not that people that don't like it don't understand editing, but people that really are into like how this shit is developed, how things are written, how things are staged, how things are chopped in the bay, you go, wow, this is fucking insane. And it can kind of be a little like Fozzie glorifying. To anybody who's just watching it and like, I want a movie that's about this, they can go, like, that's kind of fucking weird, and I don't like it.
I like weird.
Yeah.
It's just not my kind of weird.
Exactly, yeah. Everybody's got their own kind of weird, and Edgar Wright is a kind of weird.
Like, I liked, Shaun of the Dead, Hot mm-hmm. Fuzz. I love those movies. But, like, I didn't see Scott Pilgrim. And Baby Driver was fine. But I was just like, all right, this is about an
8-month-old baby that drives, as we discussed.
I do that every day. You. That's fucking cool.
I also have like.
Granted, I do it very badly every day, but.
I have big mommy issues, so Baby Driver hit me really good. Like, you get Guardians of the Galaxy. I love those movies. Mm-hmm. I have mommy issues. I got daddy issues. Any movie that kind of brings those in kind of like a fun way nails me. I can't help it.
Yeah, same. That actually is what I remember Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, feeling like I didn't enjoy it as much as the first, loving the whole end scene, and then in my second watching of it, loving it so much more.
Yeah.
And it's exactly that. It's like a healing process, that movie.
It's a healing process for nerds who can't address any of their emotional shit, so they have to sneak it into a Marvel Comics movie, you know? But so they still get a little bit of that healing.
Is that why you hung up on your mom earlier?
Shut up!
My dad's a planet!
Sorry, Mom. To be fair, I didn't hang up on my mom. I sent her to voicemail. It's very different.
Still rude.
Still very rude, yes.
You gave her the option. It's all right.
I think I went to see that with you. Guardians 2.
Could have.
That wasn't with me. It was probably, yeah, okay. It must have been you.
Because I would not go to that.
We're the only ones who drag him to culture.
Strong words. Strong words. But see, I also like, I mean, maybe this is for a Dork Side podcast, but I also like, I just enjoy the experience of just going to the movies. Like, I'll go see shitty movies. I'll go see great movies. I'll go see, you know, classics. I just, I love the experience of it. I just love going. There's something special about it. And I know that for some people, that means absolutely nothing. Like, some people totally prefer, I just want to be in my room, in my pajamas, on a tiny laptop, in my bed, and I, you know, like.
I think you're right, because it's also, like,
pajamas.
To kind of reel it back in from dork to dark, It's kind of the same person who buys vinyl records. You know what I mean? Like, there's a person who will download their music. It's the same person who's like, oh, just wait for it to come out on video. Like, is this maybe not always the same person, but it's the same person that's like, I want a physical piece of music. I want to go to the movies and see these things, because I'm the same way. I like to go to the movies. It's an experience. It's fun. You get out in public. You're not talking with the people in the theater normally, but it's still, there's people around you. It's on this big ass screen, and it's just fun.
If I'm talking to someone in the theater, I'm usually yelling profanities.
Yeah, you know.
I like going to the movies too. It's just a matter of there being a movie I actually want to see.
Mm.
But it is when you go to a movie and there's like a whole big crowd reaction at this very end. It's fun.
It's so much fun.
Like, remember when we saw Devil's Rejects and like everybody just clapped and cheered at the fucking end? Oh, God. Yeah. It's still heartwarming.
And we still got the weird looks when we were laughing at the really inappropriate scenes.
Yeah.
Chicken fucker.
Remember how angry that lady was when we were laughing during Freebird?
I'm looking forward to the next
one.
It's
a good podcast.
I'm looking forward to the end of that trilogy.
Yeah, so am I. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
But yeah, that is a great view on it, is music and movies, we affect people similarly. And, and people are into so many different things, and that's part of what, you know, we've set up in here and tried to cultivate is, you know, we're like, whatever you like, we got you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I like to say the register is the judgment-free zone. Absolutely. Other people here wouldn't like to say that. I like to say that. But, you know, it's whatever you're into, whether you're into CDs.
As long as you're in my face.
Yeah.
After you leave, it's totally
when they.
If I could, on like what BK was saying, like I completely agree with that, where it's like art is like music and movies are art, and I feel like those are the two that are constantly removed from the idea of like art can be anything. Like, anybody can just look at, like, you can even take something like a photograph on Instagram, or you can take a painting or something, and everybody can go, I don't like that, but yeah, it's art, I guess, and sometimes art sucks. Music and movies are this kind of, like, pop culture art form that is ingested by a lot of people. And it's, I think that, like, going to see a movie at a movie theater with like the best sound and the best quality and the best situation that you can be in is a lot like buying music on like the best way that you can listen to this, which is vinyl. Like, that's what it is. Like, I don't really like, I love that whole idea. It was like, it sounds warmer, like that idea, but it fucking does. When you play like Aretha Franklin on a vinyl record, it sounds better than listening to it on Spotify. Sure, I still listen to it on Spotify in my car where I don't have a tables have turned, or as Berta would put it, turntables.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But it's at home, that's like the place where the music is like the most inviting for me. Is where I can hand select what I want to listen to for the next 12 minutes on one side and put it on and know that in like 12, 15 minutes, I have to come back and I have to physically flip it or change my mind and go to something else. And it's really interesting because you don't press like the sideways triangle on something and just let it ride and like pick whatever it wants for you. There's something to be said about committing to, I'm listening to this for the next half hour, and I own it, and I spent the money to get it, and that means I like it, and I'm going to listen to it right now while I make some chicken cutlet or tofu, sorry.
Whichever
made him make
it. Again, see, it doesn't sound as good. We'll find a good one.
It doesn't taste as good either.
It doesn't taste good. Yeah, I think it's the same way with movies, too, where it's like you can watch it on Netflix, you can watch it on Amazon Prime, you can do whatever you want, but going out to go see a movie, whether it's an old one or a new one, with a big group of strangers who are all going to be respectful and watch this movie and really enjoy it and clap and laugh, like it's completely different. It's mm-hmm. a completely different thing. Nothing knocks like if you're a Spotify person or if you're a vinyl person, if you're somewhere in between. It's the same thing with the movies. It's like whatever you get the most enjoyment out of at that time, go for it. But there's definitely a difference between ice cream and gelato. You know, it doesn't mean one's better than the other, but there's a difference.
Milk and eggs, bitch.
Yeah.
No vegan diet, no vegan powers. JJ doesn't get that reference because from Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I don't get it either then.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
It's not a super good reference.
It was a really bad reference.
not to Roberto out too much more, but I have been very interested in asking JJ and BK as fellow soundtrack nerds. What is
you're
like
pushing the wrong guy out?
wait, who am I? Well, you're the wrong guy. Jesus fucking Christ! Yeah, sorry.
4'9".
Man, this Jameson is really strong.
Hit you fast,
Danny DeVito.
But you know what? No. I think this. If we're on the JV, if you agree, if we're on the round table discussion of Dark Side, which is music based, like favorite soundtrack.
I could be it on that.
That's of, like favorite
wait,
thing.
Soundtrack
to, like,
or score? If we're gonna do that,
no. Like either one. Like really, okay. You could pick. Like you go like, yo, I love Assault and Precinct 13 score, or I like this soundtrack from Drive or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Like not even like top one favorite, just like one that really like sparks up.
Sure. In fact, every year at the end of the year, we do our top 10 podcast where we pick the top 10 albums of the year, and it has expanded over the years, and now we include best soundtrack,
yes.
Best reissue, other things like that, to try to include those folks in our top 10s.
Don't you think it's shameful that you have to give soundtrack its own category, and you can't assume that best soundtrack can't be its own record? In the top 10 list.
You always throw a fucking Vorchek Ular in there anyway, so it's already in.
One time.
He's never actually made a top 10 of my lists.
I can tell you a soundtrack that was very influential on me. Was the Fight Club soundtrack.
That's a good one.
Or I guess the...
Is that Chemical Brothers?
Soundtrack and score. The Dust Brothers.
Dust Brothers.
Yeah.
Chemical Brothers.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
When I was...
idiot.
When I was in college, that was my studying album. Because it's like it's kind of quiet and it's subtle enough, but like you could focus on other things, I guess. And also at the time, I was only listening to pretty much like thrash metal and fucking, you know, really noisy things. So it gave me like a good palette to study with. And so I listen to that. God,
that's the best thing about scores. You can kind of like put them on while you're doing computer stuff. Because like, guess what? The computer plays shit. It's good.
I don't know. Brian's put on a couple scores that have been terrifying in here.
Sure.
I do that.
Right.
Yeah, which also is a compliment, truly, to the soundtrack themselves.
Yeah. I try to wait till there's no customers in the store.
You're more I'll respectful than I ever was.
Thank you, Brian.
What? I'm going to skip JJ. He said he can get in.
There's no order on this
there's
thing.
No order? Okay. I'd say then something that I...
Sorry, Danny.
I don't know if it's a top... soundtrack, but definitely something I listen to a lot is the Chud score.
Fuck yeah,
I fucking love that movie so goddamn much, and that score is so good.
It's so good.
Minimalist.
Like, it's like completely
and just
removed.
In.
You so guys, like, are you guys the podcast? Fuck, are you guys the podcast that brought up the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah,
right?
Oh
that
yeah,
fucking score.
Yeah,
is insane. Oh, yeah. You don't even need the movie with it.
Right,
but if you've seen the movie, you're like. Oh, yes. This
you can
is
watch
when
the
that,
movie again right. in your brain listening to that record.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think me and JB were working that night when we got in here, and I was like, oh, we're putting this shit on.
Yeah.
And we pretty much just quoted the entire movie while it was on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Chud's like the same way, where you're just like, yes.
I just love 80s synth in general, and that just captures it because it was such a like a low-budget film, so the score was low-budget, and it just reflects that, but in the best way it can. You know what I mean? I love that fucking soundtrack. I listen to that.
a lot, and I probably shouldn't listen to it as much because I'm going to wear out the record, and I think it's fucking out of print. So I got to be careful.
You say it gives you a chuddy.
Oh, you can't believe it.
I've always said, like, the best four words that you can see at the beginning of a movie is music by Tangerine Dream. And you're like, well, they're going to do something.
Something is going to happen. Yeah.
Well, even I picked up one recently that I picked up purely on what it was alone, which was the score to Crank 2, which was all done by Mike Patton.
Yeah.
But when I put it on at home, it's not even like... I think most people, when they hear, you know, a score for a movie, they picture, you know, kind of like long, sweeping, you know, leaning more minimalist, shall we say, you know, but these very, you know, cinematic style songs. This was literally, it was like a Mike Patton album.
Yeah.
It was just songs. And there were like all these, you know, I'm a huge Mike Patton fanboy. And honestly, it was like a delight to put it on because I was like, holy shit, I just got like a secret Mike Patton album that I feel like many people maybe just don't even know exists because they, you know, shied away from a score to a movie.
At the risk of seeming less than, who's Mike Patton?
Mike Patton is maybe the guy that I fanboy out the hardest. If you thought I fanboyed out hard for Baroness...
Is this the guy that looks like a Chirpa?
He was the singer for Mr. Bungle and for Faith No More and Tomahawk.
Okay, yes. That's where Michael Patton is popping out in my head. Yes.
Dead
He's
Cross.
The guy that shows up in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
No, that's Jim Martin of Faith No More, the guitar player.
Damn, well, that's not him.
You can't hear me pushing up my glasses on the podcast, but I assure you.
But we'll find a sound effect for it.
Pushing up my glasses.
Right. I tried as hard as I could, and I didn't get there, so... I'm cool losing the race.
He respects the effort.
That's a super obscure reference, and the fact that you even recognized that it was someone from Faith No More is huge.
Station.
I got you, bro. He also sang for the Dillinger Escape Plan and for General Patton versus the Executioners and for Mondo Cane, as Dan Aloisi told me that it's not Mondo Cane, it's
GB
Mondo
is
Cane.
Floating off of the ground right now? He's floating into the corner?
Mm-hmm. I'm actually being raised by my erection. But so that was a surprise for me because, like I said, I was expecting, like, he's done a couple other scores. Like, he did a Netflix movie, I want to say it was
1922.
Thank you.
Oh, Thomas Chan.
Yeah. Yes. So he did the score for that, and that was much more that way.
What people consider a traditional
score. And Crank 2.
That was actually a very good score, if memory is serving me correctly.
The movie was weird. I watched the movie and I was like, cool.
Yeah, let's see what this is. And I was actually like, yeah, that was pretty good.
This got dark fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Thomas Jane versus Nightmare Rats. Into it.
Mm. Yep.
It's the name of my new band.
I'd listen to it.
Right?
Right?
If I was going for a soundtrack, one of my go-tos would have to be the No Country for Old Men soundtrack.
Mm. I love that movie.
It's a really dumb joke because there's no soundtrack. But for real, the Darjeeling Limited soundtrack is great. Like, that's a great just compilation of music.
Mm-hmm.
By the time Champs-Élysées comes on, you're like, yeah, I'm fucking in. I'm moving to India. And... I feel proud of a score, actually,
because
I made Brian excited,
which made
me like the soundtrack. The score more.
Chetty,
if it's what I think you're gonna say, oh my god, it's so fucking good.
I put it on because I'm a big Nick Cave fan, and I must own everything Nick Cave does. So his score,
anything you're about to say
to
is gonna be great.
The Assassination of Jesse.
Oh, 100%. Warren Ellis, Nick Cave,
it's
baby.
It's so fucking good. I was back here looking at a used collection, and it just, like, all of a sudden it just hit me that there was a score on, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is fucking awesome.
It's so fucking good. It's so good. All of it is good. And then there's that one song towards the end, which I think it's called, like, it's like the Robert Ford song. It's like the one where it goes through, like, he's an asshole and this is what he did later on in life. And you're just like, everything about this makes me want to stop being a bad person. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, Warren Ellis and Nick Cave are just like... Mm-hmm. On another fucking level.
Oh, it's so fucking good. I've never even seen the movie, and now I want to see the movie also simply just based on that.
Extremely good. Also, I'll bring in the Proposition song, because you're going to fucking love
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
Yes. Yeah. And that's Nick and Warren too, right?
Yep.
It's both
Nick
them together, right?
The entire movie.
And he wrote the movie. Yeah.
Oh,
Proposition
shit.
Is like,
oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
Mamma
that
Mia.
Just recently got reissued, didn't it? Within the past few months or so, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, it came out. It was this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like a vinyl soundtrack.
Yeah, gold LP.
Damn. Do you guys have that here?
We might.
We might.
Also with Assassination of Jesse James.
I'd fucking spend so much money on that immediately and feel bad about it.
Also, you can't go wrong. Like, you already said it, but the Tarantino soundtrack, like
Death Proof
soundtrack is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And the vinyl is really fucking cool. The blood splatter.
Death Proof's one of the best.
The only one I don't have, actually.
Yeah, I don't have Death Proof. I have Planet Terror.
I do like
Proof.
What was the one that really surprised? Because I bought the Hateful Eight one from you guys, which is like a lot of fun because there's just so much going on in that movie as far as like actual songs and like old scores and new scores. But the one that like really surprised me is a buddy of mine got me the Inglourious Bastards one. I didn't realize how much like really cool music is in that movie. Like you watch it, and I think Inglourious Bastards is Quentin Tarantino's best movie.
I fucking love that
movie. I'm very sorry if that...
No, I'm not offended.
I think it's his best movie. It's not my favorite, but I think it's his best made. Hmm. And the music in that, I feel like, kind of just like flows over you a little bit because the movie is just so good and the music works just like so elegantly. Yeah. You don't notice the scenes. You don't notice the music happening. And when you listen to the score and the soundtrack on its own, you're like... Oh, that's right. They use like a fucking David Bowie song in this randomly somewhere.
Anybody ever listen to Tom Waits' Night on Earth soundtrack?
Yes.
That's good weirdness.
I haven't listened to much Tom Waits. Any Tom Waits that I've heard has pretty much been in the store because of you, I think. Yeah.
Well, Night on Earth is just
Was that a legit release or did we get
It was a promo edition of it and it was for the Jarmusch film.
Right.
And so you already know it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're all looking at you now.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry.
Options.
Do I go with like an early soundtrack?
Oh, my God.
How many linear feet of soundtracks do you think you have in your basement?
Spine to spine or end to end?
Hold up. They're in 12-foot cubbies.
12-inch.
No, they're 12-foot cubbies.
Square.
Have you seen Birdo's record room?
I have.
Okay.
Oh, I should say, I saw before it was finished.
True. Yeah. Still not full, but you know, I'm working on it. 8 feet? Maybe 9? Yeah. I can't remember if I started the third column or not yet, but all soundtracks and scores.
I like you.
I gotta get working. You've only got like
you're
3 feet.
You're a good guy.
I try. I think, okay, I'm gonna go with like with one of the more nostalgic ones for me, which is the Braveheart score.
Oh. Deep cut.
I have. That? James Horner.
I was going to say Newman or Horner.
Yeah.
I have one of his harmonicas.
God damn it.
This is the shit I put up with.
I'm with you. I got you here.
Thank you. There.
Dude, Braveheart's a deep cut. Like, that's like, it really is. Like, it's good.
You get me with one. That's one.
Harmonica reference. But yeah, I think I saw the movie when I was like 11. Always fucking loved the music. Made me want to go to Scotland when I was in college. I went back with my then girlfriend, and then I ended up getting married there like 2 years ago.
Fuck yeah.
There's a video on my phone. We drove up to this island, Isle of Skye in northern Scotland. And I put the fucking soundtrack on the car as you hit the highlands. And it is Horner spent time there to, like, translate that site. Because it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, there's something about the soundtrack that is, like, Scotland. Like, it's like you listen to it and you know exactly where this movie takes place. You know exactly what's going on. And I think that's the beauty of a score. Like,
yeah. I watched Braveheart, like, for the first time in probably, like, a few years. Like last year. Because it was just like it popped up on HBO or Netflix or something, and I watched it, and like the first thing that hits you is like that sweeping foggy like shot of the mountains, and it's just and you're like, oh, yep, I'm watching Braveheart right now for 2 hours, and
you're in
and it's so good, and as you get in like the smaller moments and like that's it it really is like one of those movies that's like a super underrated score. I don't even think that that one won.
I don't think it won the Oscars
that year. Like Braveheart was kind of like really snubbed outside of like the director picture kind
and
of
Mel
category.
Gibson
yeah.
Didn't do. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, Braveheart's
that's a hot choice.
That actually makes me feel really bad about what I want to pick. No.
Do you think that in Scotland there's just a group of locals who, you know, they see like a rental car tear across the highway blasting Braveheart soundtrack and they're just like, you know, tending their sheep, rolling their eyes, going, ugh, another one.
What really got him is when he came out for the wedding and he was dressed as Mel Gibson. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He had the paint half on. Blue face.
No paint. I'm talking like side of the highway Mel Gibson. The drunk Mel Gibson.
Oh my God, I just had like a piece of information hit me from the back of my head, which was that Braveheart couldn't be nominated for an Oscar because technically the main theme is based off of original, like an older song, and they kind of based the theme and the tempo off of it, so it made it so that they weren't, I remember learning that, because I remember getting... Jesus, this is coming back to me all at once right now. I remember getting an argument with somebody that I was like, Braveheart won best score. What else beat it that year? Which was like, that had to be, what, 96? Something?
Five.
95, 96? And I was like, what beat that? And we looked it up and we saw what beat it. And then we looked at the nominations and Braveheart wasn't even nominated. And we looked up why it wasn't nominated. And it was because the Gaelic, like Scottish, like, pipes were based off of like an original
piece.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like you can't, even though the rest of the score was just like naturally made, it wasn't built. It was built off of something else that you can't be nominated for the Academy Awards. Fun.
Interesting.
Well, what are you going to pick, Mike?
Well, now that he picked Braveheart, I feel like I got to go. In the complete opposite direction. I mean, I was gonna pick because I recently watched Thief for the first time, which is Michael Mann's first movie with James Caan. Tangerine Dream did the score, and it is insane. Yeah. It is so fucking good.
Oh yes,
it's the dopest movie you've ever seen. Right. It's on like Amazon Prime right now too, where you can just like pull it up, and it's like it's about like skeevy little rats doing skeevy little rat things. And James Caan's amazing, and Tangerine Dream score is great. One of my go-tos is, and I'm just gonna go. I'm just gonna do it. The Black Stallion score is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, the score to the Black Stallion is great.
It's a horse.
When the love of my life, Diana DeMuro, when we moved in together, we incorporated our vinyl record collection.
That's commitment.
Yeah. That is commitment. That was the whole thing. They are commit.
Oh, shit.
Well,
good for you.
Yeah.
She's got her 2, and I've got my 10. you know what I mean? But it's like some move out and go in and go out and go in. It's got to this point now where it's like, so wait, whose is this one? And I'm like, I don't know, both of ours?
I know exactly what I own.
Jenny
only owns a couple of records, and they're pretty much just shit I bought for her because I was like, hey, you need this. But I know exactly what I own. I'm taking it with me if anything ever happens.
And I'm coming for them. but she brought in Black Stallion, and I had never seen the movie, and she played the score for me. So it was one of those few movies where it's like I heard the score first from somebody who cared so much about it, and I was like, dude, this score is like really good.
I thought of another one I should have said.
And then I watched the movie, and I was like, the score's even better when there's stuff happening. And then it's like every time I listen to the score, I'm reminded of not only like the moment that like the most important person in my life shared music with me that really made them feel special. I'm also reminded of that time where, wow, that music's really good. Wow, this movie's really good. Wow, this music's even better now. It was kind of like a jump. So
that's cool.
That's really good.
Nice.
I was going to say Braveheart, but That's not true. That's not true.
You chose
I
way better.
I chose Braveheart. That's a fucking baller choice.
See, I got another horse movie I could have cited too. Man from Snowy River score.
Unfamiliar.
Really?
I will listen.
I was going to say Rocky, yes. The Italian Stallion. That's the only stallion I listen to. Again, I've been drinking tonight. I'm sorry.
Never apologize.
BK and JJ are very funny.
Well, y'all just made me think of one, which might be a bit pedestrian for tastes.
Oh.
But the Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross score to Ken Burns' Vietnam.
Mm. Ooh.
Sings so fucking well with that documentary.
Why is,
damn.
Why is that pedestrian?
I think that's fucking stupid.
I don't think did they release the LP for that.
I think that
Trent Reznor's
the
shit, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have all their other stuff. The last one I remember getting was the water one,
Into the Flood, or something like that.
But like the way that they did it to sync with all that footage was just—it's heavy.
It's fucking wild. Like,
have you seen it?
Yes.
Thank God. I've been telling everybody here to watch this.
It's very insane that TRAR. They keep getting involved in these projects where you're like, well, that's the Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross.
So I love that you just did that.
Trar.
I feel like I'm in the newsletter now.
Yeah, sorry.
It's, with their powers JB, combined.
JB looked at me weird, which I'm used to at this point in this podcast right now, but JJ also looked at me very weird, and I was like, what?
I was like, I don't know what it was. I looked at him for guidance.
Yeah. I've never called him that, but I was right there with you.
To be fair, can't we like celebrity name that instead of making like can we just like
it's our brand
like Tross?
No,
you
Trar.
Know?
It's when they combine their powers, they form an amazing musical robot.
And then when
Tranicus Reznos,
the Albatross.
Ooh.
Oh boy!
I'm so mad at that, but also very impressed. It's like. I don't know, but it is like like the Trar. It's crazy, like when they take on projects, and you're like, are they going to be able to fucking do that? And they do it every fucking time. It's nuts. It's nuts. Like the Social Network is another one where you're just like, what a fucking baller ass album that is. Mm-hmm. And then you do Gone Girl, and you're like, what the fuck are you guys even doing? It's nuts. And then you do something like where like, well, the guys that did those two David Fincher movies, they're going to do the Vietnam documentary, and you're like. Like the one where they use like air conditioners, but it works and it's insane. They are insane. They're probably like top five musical compositionists, like movie wise, working right now. They're insane. It makes they can do anything.
I think laying one down that I think the whole table can agree on. But I'm not gonna say Mike because I don't know his tastes. But I think all of us pretty much at this table agree on the Twin Peaks soundtrack, David Lynch with Angelo Badalamenti.
The score.
Yes. Okay. Yes. The score. Yes.
I will say that I agree with you with one exception, which is that the Twin Peaks season 2 soundtrack is just a confusing goddamn. It just fucks with
I
your
think
emotions
because it took so long to release it.
Well, because they just mix all the themes, and so it's like they start with so and so's theme, and it's blended with someone else's theme, and it's just like you're listening, you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
it's
what
a lot like
what
is
happening?
Season 2.
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But I would say that I'll never listen to that solo.
No,
I think it works in the show, but I have no interest in listening to it.
Ain't done anything else that I might know because I don't know if you guys have never seen Twin Peaks.
Really?
Oh.
Saving it.
Also, like I said,
I watched the first
season. Didn't want to assume Mike's tastes here, but he also did Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. He did that one. Yep.
He did Firewalk with Me.
Yep.
I have listened to Firewalk with Me because I hosted a party where they were screening that for a birthday, and I just didn't look, but I heard. Sounds great.
It's gonna be the best 10-year-old birthday party ever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he did something else that I should know. Like we should know. But
I don't know.
Can't think of it.
D'Angelo, you're killing me.
Well, the one weird thing Dream Warriors gives me an inkling enough.
Yep. So
the one thing I've enjoyed is reading like some of the interviews with these composers, especially like the '80s synth, like the horror guys, who are fascinated with the resurgence of their popularity. Because Mondo, Death Waltz, they're getting, they have the interviews and the liner notes and stuff like that. And the guy's like, I did this in my basement, in a week. I had no idea people would be collecting this, you know, 15, 20 years later.
I feel like that's how it is with a lot of them, too.
I saw such
a small scale, and they're like, oh, yeah, here, this movie releases sometime soon. Do that shit in 3 days, and they just do it.
Do it, and it becomes immortal.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a fucking John Carpenter tour New York City a few years ago, and he was up there. He's like, I don't do this.
Yeah. Like, he's like, I don't. Crazy. He had, like, yeah, I remember, like, reading some sort of interview. He's like, I had a basic understanding of timing, and so I just plugged that into a keyboard and a synthesizer, and that was that. Like, mm-hmm. the whole Halloween theme is just a 4-5 timing.
Yeah. Trust me, I watched that old man play that thing. Like, he's up there rocking out like this.
Oh, yeah.
You watch interviews with him, and you're like, dude, you have made, like, 5 of the greatest movies ever made. And he's like, yeah, I didn't know what I was doing, you know, I'm just kind of...
And I think that's fucking incredible. He's essentially just a guy who was like, I like this, I'll make this. Hopefully other people like it too. Like, that's fucking great. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fucking great.
He's an insane man. Like, he is like, I one of my biggest dreams is to be able to synthesize score an independent movie with some buds. And I've done like live score, like where like there's like a drummer and a bassist and stuff like that, and I'm playing synth. We did like Nosferatu last year. We're doing City Lights in like a couple months. Ooh. It's gonna be a lot of fucking fun. And I love the synthesizer, and I love fucking around with it. And it's just like, it's like the most fun thing in the world. And when you like listen to John Carpenter talk about it, he's just like, it's easy.
It's thanks, just easy. John.
I just like, you know, I think of a thing in my head. And then, like, I did it. And then, like...
I'm famous.
Exactly. You're just like, no, John, that's not how it works.
When I saw him live, he had the full band and stuff like that. He did, you know, he started in on Halloween. The whole fucking theater erupts. And he's this old guy. He's got sunglasses on, but he's up there. He's just...
Yeah.
And, like, people are just going crazy.
When I was doing the Nosferatu synthesizer, and I was, like, kind of playing the overture at the beginning as people were walking in... I had like a bunch of kids ask me like, can you play the Halloween song? And I was like, oh yeah. And I went, da-na-na-na. And I did that, and they were like, no, the Halloween song. And I was like, that is the Halloween song.
Go take your seats, kids.
Because I can't do more finger than two. 4 keys and keep my shit together. I'm not da-da-da-da-da-da this. I'm gonna da-na-na-na.
Well, I think that really quick, while we still have you here, I think we should just take a quick pause from this, and we should move to a couple questions that some of our listeners have sent to us already.
Okay.
That might be relevant to what we're talking about. I'll start with one that is not relevant at all. This one is from this is from John Benjamin.
Oh,
other JB.
Other JB. Mm-hmm. How are you?
He's good.
Good.
I'm also good.
Good.
He says, and I'll leave this to the whole panel. Specifically, we'll start with Mike, though. Best Spider-Man, Maguire, Garfield, Holland.
Ooh.
Maguire. It's definitely not Garfield. Holland's been in 1. Leave me alone.
He was in 2.
I don't know. I really...
He was in 2.
I like Garfield.
Well, I haven't seen Far From Home, so...
I haven't yet either.
It's 2. It's called math. I'm not very good at it.
Best Spider-Man or best Peter Parker? This is the thing.
Oh,
get your shit together. Okay. What's going on here?
he said specifically best Spider-Man.
Best Spider-Man? Maguire. Spider-Man 2 is like the best superhero movie ever made, so.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You know what?
It's
on the top.
In my humble opinion, I'm sorry.
Spider-Man 2 is amazing.
There it is. I agree with you.
It's got a really good score. It's Danny Elfman. Like, what else do you want?
I'm going to go Garfield.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
He's my fave.
I like Garfield.
Because something about that love connection between him and Emma Stone, holy fuck, is if they just made a movie that was the two of them, left out all the Spider-Man shit, I would watch the shit out of that. They were so fucking good together on camera. JJ?
By Garfield, I assume you mean Bill Murray accidentally taking the role as Garfield, so I will choose Bill Murray.
Okay. Yes.
I award you no points.
And may God have mercy on your soul.
Finally, this is what I came here for.
I meant Garfield, the 31st U.S. president.
James Garfield?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Shocked.
This one is from Eves.
I didn't answer, fucker.
I was undecided.
You said
Maguire.
No, he got undecided. My back.
I got to go to Maguire.
This one's from Eves. What upcoming movie and or album are you looking forward to the most?
Am I first again?
No. That's a big question, really. Yeah.
Well, what movie I'm looking forward to the most is obviously the first Tarantino movie in a fucking while.
Long time.
Once upon a time in Hollywood. Sounds great. And you know what? The fucking soundtrack to that is probably going to be great. So Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Ditto, because I didn't remember that was coming out. That's a movie I'm genuinely excited to go see.
All right.
It's going to be great.
Okay, well, this one's from Ariona.
I don't think you asked
nobody
anybody else.
I'm the only one that answered that question. Yeah. JJ got my back on it. It's, like,
it's just because I don't really care. So the next one is from Ariona. Brian, this one will be yours. Favorite and least favorite horror movie and why? Let's just do least favorite.
That's a great
least
one.
Least favorite.
That's because, well, we talked about a lot of our favorites already. Let's talk about least favorite.
That's really hard to say a least favorite because I've disliked a lot of horror movies. I'll say favorite real quick just because I know off the top of my head. Night of the Living Dead, 1968. Mm-hmm. I've seen that movie like 200 times, and I fucking love it. Least favorites, really hard. There's been so many bad movies. One that sticks out just because I saw it in the theater and I was really upset afterwards was The Skeleton Key. I don't know if anyone ever saw that movie. It was fucking bad.
Deep cut.
It was really bad.
Johnny Depp?
No, it was...
She's like Jennifer Chastain, but she's not her.
Yeah, I can't...
Naomi Watts. It was Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts,
yeah.
That movie was pretty bad. Geez.
Where she's in a haunted house, right? And then she turns out she's the ghost?
No, she's like taking care of...
That's the others.
Of like some Nicole old Kidman. Person, and then like they're haunted... And then she ends up being haunted, and not good. Yeah. It was just really not good.
You're going to say that in a world where we have multiple Annabelle movies?
Well, okay. Listen.
We're talking serious film.
You also got to understand, I've had this conversation with other people just in general. I have a very low standard of movies. I have two modes. That movie was fucking terrible, or it was entertaining. So if it was entertaining enough, all right. Okay. That's where it goes. Where most of the Annabelle movies... They were entertaining enough.
Yeah.
They weren't great. They weren't like highbrow cinema, and they weren't even great horror
JB,
movies.
Have you seen any of the Annabelle movies?
I'm a purist, so,
no. Disregard it.
Well, what if we did an Annabelle movie, but she came home?
Go on.
The first Conjuring, I liked, though.
With
The Conjuring was actually a slap.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Cool. I thought it was
even the second one I liked.
Yeah, they did a lot of stuff where it was like they didn't go for just gore and stupid shit. It was very like creepy.
Well, my main issue with horror movies these days is they have such license to do gory shit and show everything humanly possible that there's no more psychological tension.
To me, that's not scary. That's not scary.
What was that movie with Ethan Hawke with like the Sinister? Did you see Sinister?
Yes.
I fucking loved Sinister because I went into Sinister being like, yo, this movie's going to suck. And I was like, yo, that was a really good movie, guys.
I thought Sinister was cool. And then the second one, we won't talk about the second one because the second one was pretty
good.
Sinister.
Much more sinister.
It's actually called Sinister and Sinister.
I do feel like the dude from The Wire season 2 who was like the cop in Sinister. And I think he's the only character that like plays over in The Sinister 2. He's playing a character in It Chapter 2.
Is he?
Which I am very excited about.
Actually, I was going to say to JB's last question that I'm really looking forward to It Chapter 2 and the soundtrack too. Because the first soundtrack was really good. Was it Benjamin Wallfish? Something
just
like
make
that.
A Benjamin Button joke.
Deep cuts.
I love you. I love that movie.
We need to hang out outside of this.
No, we should. We should. You should come to the cinema and check it out. But a more importantly, we should do like a Dark Side screening. We should do a thing.
Captain Ron, I'm still waiting on.
Yeah.
This guy's idea.
Guys, like, I'm waiting. Like you guys, give me the date. Captain Ron is ready to rise.
Happens every day right around sundown.
To give you an idea of his movie's sense of humor.
What do you say,
Swab? At one point, was it high school I took you to X-Men 3? Yeah. So X-Men 3, admittedly, horrible film.
But my
brother and I
your brother
decided
looks so good.
To cosplay as Nightcrawler and Colossus. So I had like silver body paint on. He was all blue. We had a tail and everything.
Oh, I fucking love this story already.
And he's like, hey, I'm going to come. Like, are what, are you going to dress up? No, that's not really my thing. And so you ended up, you can tell him.
So
you,
I figured out who was in the movie, and Kelsey Grammer played Beast.
Of course he did.
So oh, no. I went as Beast, as
your Crane.
I knew it was going there. I fucking love it.
A crushed velvet, a crushed velvet dinner jacket.
And then there's people that wanted to take their fucking pictures after the movie. And so, like, they're, like, Mac is in his pose, like, whatever the fuck that thing is, and you're standing there. And then there's me standing there, and they're like, are you with them?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, that was good.
That's the fucking best.
So we also got another question for Ariana.
Oh, are you still here?
they asked, Megadeth or Metallica? Rapid
Metallica.
Fire.
Metallica.
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 Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's a, don't get me wrong. I like
that's
Megadeth.
That's mainly my dad right there, yeah. I mean, Last Action Hero.
Mm. I often quote Peace Sells But Who's Buying a lot just for fun, really. Mm-hmm. Just the, I say, what do you mean? And then fill in the blank with whatever's going on around me just because I have a good time with it. Who can't love Dave Mustaine?
Am I kind
get
of,
well soon.
Am
get
I wrong
soon,
in
Dave.
Thinking that Megadeth to Metallica is kind of like the... the under to the over, like Metallica is the more known.
Mm.
So yeah. I'm kind of like Megadeth is the hipster Metallica.
That's a bumper sticker we're gonna make.
Did
right
I,
now.
I just do that?
I did.
It's like prime rib and Salisbury steak, I feel like.
Mm. I don't get
which
that reference.
Salisbury steak.
It's like tofu and good. Not tofu.
Because I love Salisbury steak and rice. Is that all the questions?
No, we got two more, including one from Two Dudes Movie Reviews.
Ooh.
But I'm going to save that for the Dorkside podcast.
Questions. I've asked for questions like every podcast and never get
them. You just got written up in Hudson Valley Magazine.
Damn right. We got
yeah.
fans.
Yeah. Hudson Valley Magbomb.
Yeah, man.
That's right.
Yeah. Every N-word gym is fucking riding on in.
So anyway, so I think we should wrap this up. Mike, thank you for being here. This has been great. Thank you for being here. This, I felt like this was going to be a good fit, and I
this is a lot of fun. Can we do this every month?
Sure.
Yeah, no,
sure.
That's fine.
This is like a lot of fun. I live like three blocks up the road.
Oh, that's right. You live in Poughkeepsie.
I live in Poughkeepsie, man. I'm right here.
Okay, dude. We'll talk.
I'm actually thinking about buying a house in Poughkeepsie. I like it so much. Yeah?
You should. Property values on the rise. Get in there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing, baby.
But so we like to do a thing when we have guests on this podcast. And since you are sitting in our Black Keys electric chair,
I'm scaring the fuck out
the,
of me.
or you could call it the hot seat.
JJ, okay? Unleash the gimp.
What's going on? We like to do something for all of our guests. That's called the Dark Side Records Podcast.
Lightning round.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm going to put in post. I'm going to put like lightning bolt sound effects.
So
I'll do it again, right?
Lift up my
lightning round.
Is it all video?
No, it'll be on the podcast. But so this is just, we're going to rapid fire ask you a bunch of questions.
Okay.
While you're sitting.
There you go.
Perfect.
You're killing them.
While you're,
no, I can take it, but I'm just kind of like, what's up?
While you're sitting in the hot seat here.
Here, have more whiskey.
We're just going to rapid fire ask you a bunch of questions. You just say first answer that comes to your mind.
Great. I have to pee, so I'll be very quick.
Okay. We'll make this fast. Okay. I'll start. What is love?
Diana DeMuro.
Aw.
Let's name my girlfriend.
Baby, don't hurt me.
That's where I was going.
It's not a question. No. Rapid fire. Lightning round.
All right. Favorite horror movie quote?
I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
God damn it. I don't know. Go to him.
God damn it. I don't know. Go to him.
Stall or urinal?
Stall.
Horses or donkeys?
Horses.
Favorite yogurt?
Plain.
Whiskey or beer?
Whiskey.
Favorite real life serial killer?
John Bryan.
Favorite fictional serial killer?
The dude that's the bad guy in that show on Netflix with Gillian Anderson. What's that called?
The X-Files.
No.
Oh, yeah, The Fall?
The Fall.
The Fall.
Yeah. James
good.
Dornan or
yeah.
something like that. Yeah, yeah. He's a really good serial killer.
Score or soundtrack?
Favorite?
No, just score or soundtrack.
Score or soundtrack. Score. Yeah.
Best season?
Angel season 5.
I would have said Fall, but that's fine.
Oh, sorry.
I was wondering where it was going to go. Well, that was awesome.
I am so proud of myself for immediately going to that. I'm so sorry.
Favorite HBO TV show?
Dude, it's got to be The Wire, but yes. I love Carnival, but
it's The Wire.
It's The Wire. No, it's The Wire.
It's The Wire.
Spaghettification or lack of oxygen?
Spaghettification.
I'm talking about black holes, goddammit.
I know. I'm sorry. I fucked it up.
Come on. No, you were good.
I know. I'm sorry. I still apologize.
Brian over there.
Gatefold or single sleeve?
That's rough. Can I do a follow-up question?
Yeah, why the fuck not?
Is it a double or is it a single?
I'm going to say single.
Single sleeve.
Okay. I think a gatefold and a single record is a waste.
It sucks.
Yeah.
I'd rather see them put the protection.
But it's like if you have a double, it's like I don't want them cramped up in there.
Unless it's amazing, like fucking.
It's got to be something that earns it, but that's all specific.
That, like, yeah,
opens up.
And last one.
Anybody want a peanut?
It's Princess Bride.
Andre the Giant.
Good.
Who is Andre?
You're
the
not
Giant?
Answering.
But I want a peanut. I'm hungry.
You have to sit in the chair.
I told him that he could answer the last question beforehand. Okay. So right, he's allowed enough. To.
All right.
So
yes!
Thank you.
Congratulations.
For
you survived the,
rules. The
lightning round. Yeah. Well done, sir.
Appreciate it, guys.
You can now pee before having to come back and sit in that chair and repeat this whole horrible process.
Mike, thank you for being here on our podcast. Anything you want to put out there? Where can people find you?
Go to StoryScreenBeacon.com for like the most coolest shit. Like, we're at Story Screen Beacon Theater in Beacon. You can find us on Fandango and all that fun stuff for movies and stuff. But, like, the coolest shit that we got going on is at StoryScreenBeacon.com. We got articles. We got reviews. All of our podcasts. We're close to 200 episodes.
Jesus, we've been doing this for 6 years.
We've been doing ours for 3. No big deal. Whatever.
Well, listen. When the organizational masterminds are these two.
Yeah. So, like, you guys are firing JB and hiring me now, right?
I wouldn't say fire. I mean, demote, I think.
Well, no, that was actually part of my whole thing. I was like, fire him. I don't want him a part of this at all.
Oh.
but he has to stand over on the other side of the room while we record.
Times.
Which, for people that don't see what this is that's like got to be what at least like 100 feet away.
Yep.
It's a distant corner of shame. Yeah,
it's right about
100 feet.
He's got to go in the booth.
You're pretty.
He can go in the booth. hold on.
How am I going to hear?
JB, we're going to have a talk after the episode's done.
Why'd you push the mic away?
I want it to sound distant, like I'm trying to be secretive.
That's quality audio production right there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, JB. I respect your job completely, and yeah, StoryScreenBeacon.com has all that stuff. You can find the name of the podcast in case it wasn't heard in the beginning because it was kind of like weird in the beginning. It's Story Screen Presents. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, anywhere you find your greatest, your favoritest podcast. We're on Spotify now, actually, too. This is the kind of thing that we both share is we've been upped into the epilon of amazing epilon.
Sure,
echelon.
Yeah,
I would go. With
all right, so I'm fired. Hire JB back. He knew what echelon was.
The MC echelon.
Just listen to us over there, and that'll be just fine. You can follow us on Instagram at @story_screen_beacon on Twitter at @story_screen. You can find us on Facebook. It's fun. You should definitely go to Dark Side though. That's us. Yeah. You should definitely go to Dark Side, though. They have, like, a lot of really good stuff. A lot of incense. They got a lot of stuff to smoke tobacco out of.
He just went to that side of the store for the first time today, so that's
it. Looks very excited. I usually like beeline right to the soundtracks, and I just go like, "All right, which Halloween soundtrack do I want to pick up today?" Because I'm a fucking idiot or nerd, rather.
Filled the box yet?
Yeah. No, nope. I'm not going to do that for a while. That's something that I have to earn. I'm not allowed to own all six soundtracks on vinyl and like cool box set. I'm not there yet. I haven't earned that.
It's pretty good.
In our eyes.
All right, hold on. I'm going to have to go on the last question.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
What's the, your cherry soundtrack in your collection? Your favorite?
Not your first?
I like the term cherry soundtrack because I thought it was... that's what I thought it was. I thought it was first. Okay. I was like,
it could be first or like most prized possession.
My most prized possession in my soundtrack is probably in the movie soundtrack.
Yes.
Fuck, that's rough. I have a lot of really special little babies. You cut this out, like, and I'll just be like really smart and answer. Okay,
I'm probably gonna cut this whole section and move it over into the lightning round anyway. So
okay, this is very important. I can't give a bad answer. I have to give.
That's not how the lightning round works.
I have six. I'm breaking it down. I'm breaking it down. It's gotta be Big Chill Part 2.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Alright.
No, I'm not serious. It's not real. No,
kill him.
I honestly think that my favorite one that I actually have is, unfortunately, I do have Kill Bill Volume 1 and Volume 2, and I play those all the fucking time. Like, I can't put on side one of Kill Bill Volume 1 without getting to side two of Kill Bill Volume 2. I can't do it. They're my favorites, but they're also like reprint stuff. I have a bunch of like fun originals. I'm not getting into this. I can't do it. Sorry.
All right. Well, once again, thank you for being here, Mike. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Everyone go and give him a follow. Give all of his projects a follow and come with us to see some movies at Story Screen.
Captain Ron.
Yeah. It's the best place that you ever see a movie.
I had grand plans of talking about CBD on this podcast, but I guess we will save that for the next episode.
CBD is great, and I like it. You're welcome.
And we have it. Okay.
We talked about it.
All right. So next episode will be about CBD and a whole bunch of other bullshit.
When are you guys recording that in October? Sorry.
Well played, sir.
Sorry.
This isn't the Dork Side podcast. And it would be 2021. So thank you for listening, for everyone who's downloaded this. Hey, we're back. And thanks. Of course, if you are listening to this, subscribe to us on the Apple Podcasts app. Subscribe to us on Stitcher or Google Play, or we're on Spotify. We're on all those things. Whatever the one is that you like, that you want to hear our really dumb comments on, go subscribe on that. So I'm JB.
Jumbie wants to be born now.
I'm BK.
Big Chill Part 2.
I'm Berto.
Thanks for listening.
See you in the bins. More songs from the Big Chill.